You know, those are some amazing words. They still amaze me every time that I hear them. How great the love of God is. You know, I can't comprehend that I'll never be separated from God, but the truth is I'll never be separated from God. That's how strong it is. Even though at this moment, because I don't have enough hard drive to stretch that far. I don't have a hard drive program in my head that can understand forever, but I know this. God loves us significantly in such a way that we'll never be separated from the love of God. How many of y'all believe that? You'll never be separated from the love of God. That's amazing stuff. Now, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 because God's going to do some wonderful things if you'll listen. How many of y'all ready to listen today? It's a real simple exercise. You listen to what the Lord says and you let that get in your life, and guess what? You're going to come to life. You're going to come to life. Now, I want us to deal with it straight up, straight on, and for real. You got it? Straight up, straight on, and for real. I want you to know this. It's what the Bible teaches. You're going to have to decide. It's what the Bible teaches. Sin kills. We believe. Now, if we really believe sin killed, then why we get into it so much? Watch it. How many of y'all do this? Well, I know it kills, but a little won't hurt you. Come on, how many of y'all do it like that? Huh? Let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all have ever been to the funeral home and looked over at whoever it was and go, you know what? They're a little bit dead. Can you be a little bit dead? That's like being almost pregnant. There's some things, they are what they are. And so, guys, I want you to grip this. Listen, because here's what I want you to know. Ultimately, God wants to bring you to heaven and he wants you to live a full and abundant life. But that does not occur in a lot of people's lives, not because God's desire is not that you be saved, but we choose to be so caught up in the thinking of this world, we miss who God is. Ephesians 2 says this, we got to get some used to in our lives. How many of y'all got some used to? Anybody here got some used to? That means I used to do this, now I do that. How many of y'all got a little used to in your story? Now, the older you get, you should have more used to. Watch this. Listen, I'm going to just shoot you straight. Don't buy into this stuff about age. You know, everybody goes, oh, it's a golden years. Baloney. There's only one advantage of your body falling apart. You should be smarter the older you get. The only difference in people that have aged, or I prefer, age sounds so bad. I like seasoned. Doesn't that sound, isn't that a better word? I mean, aged, I see wrinkles. Seasoned, I see spice. You know, it's this flavor of life. You know, listen, used to, I thought this way. Used to, I did these things. I know the difference between things that are living and things that are dead. And God wants you to stay away from dead things. Because God did not create us to be dead. He created us to what? To live. What's Jesus do on the third day? He does what? Yeah, he's alive. So that means he lives. Come on, there you go. This is not complicated. I'm not trying to trick you. I promise. God wants you to live. Now, as for you, you once. Watch this. I love this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Note the word in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. I love this verb. I love this verb. Were. But I love this word. Were means this, not now. You were dead. So let me just clarify this, because I want to make sure everybody understands this. Sin does not make you a bad person. Everybody get that? Everybody get that? It makes you a dead person. So what the devil's done is he's come in the church over the last, especially 100 years, especially in Southern Kentucky, and he says, okay, if you follow God, you're good, and if you don't follow God, you're bad. Well, that sounds like that's a pretty good setup, right? The only problem is it's not true. That's not what God's after. If you don't follow God and you choose to be in sin, you're not bad. You're dead without life. Now, in my opinion, this is why so many people don't come to the Lord, because you know what? I can get better on some outside stuff by myself. I can quit smoking without Jesus. I mean, I can use willpower or, you know, the power of, I mean, what? I can quit drinking alcohol without Jesus. You can do that without Jesus. You can do that without Jesus. Now you're miserable, but you can do that without Jesus. I mean, you look at people all the time and go, I quit drinking and I'm happy about it. Call it white knuckling. You become a dry drunk. You just kung fu everybody in your way. Because you're not healed, you're just resisting. See what it is? You're just dead and sober. In fact, if you're going to be dead, you might as well be drunk. You know what I mean? Because sin what? Kills. And life brings us somewhere. Now look, as for you and your transgressions, your sins, they killed you. Have I been clear on that? Nod your head or something that I can move on to this next part. Because guess what? I will stay here all day, because until you understand this, you will never understand your salvation. Now, young people, listen to me. They have conned you. They have lied to you. They have strategized. They have told you something that's not true. Human beings are not inherently good. Now, some of you university students ought to go, prove it. Come on. Come on. Come on. I will. Now, Sean Pugh is a good guy. If anybody knows Pastor Sean, what's one thing they say about you, Sean? They do. I mean, not bad things. What do they say about you? They say, Sean Pugh is a good guy. Anybody, hey, do you know Sean Pugh? They go, oh, yeah, he's a great guy, nice guy. Sean's nice. His mother's here today, and the Lord wanted his mother to be here today so I could prove this. Mama Pugh, if y'all can imagine this, at one time, Sean was a small human being, wasn't he? Age 2. Well, I'm not saying he was a small 2-year-old, but he was smaller at 2 than he is now. Follow me, okay? Did Sean Pugh at age 2 ever tell a lie? Sean Pugh lied at age 2. Now check this out. Mama Pugh, did you call Sean aside and say, Sean, this is the way you lie? And you took him to lying class and you taught him how to lie. Did you do that? He got it on his own? How many of you parents taught your children to lie? How many of y'all found out they did it naturally? Because inherently they're not good. Now I know this blows some of you parents away who are raising perfect children. Now, if you go ahead and rest in the comfort of your delusion that your children are perfect, the rest of us know they're not. Because they come to our house too. They're humans. And you see, and we're dead in sin, and we need the hope and the grace of God. So I want you to be very careful in what you say. You say, well, what difference does that make? Watch, it destroys this Gumby theology that we're all just going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and all of this sinful stuff is going to go away. Not true. And I know there's a lot of people on campus, you know, they want to wear their pink shorts or skirts or whatever, and we're just going to say peace, and it's magically going to appear. The problem with these people is they've never been to a history class and see that sin is inherent in human beings. Now, let me say what happens is this. There's chaos because there's sin, and sin kills. Have I told you today that sin kills?
Yes.
Can I move on?
Yes.
But are you aware that sin kills? Just check it. Does sin make you a bad person? It makes you a what? What about the balcony? It makes you what? Oh, y'all are about half dead up here. What? It makes you what? Dead. Now, why do I want y'all to understand that? Because I know what y'all are going to do on the day of judgment. I know exactly what you're going to do. You watch too much news. I can see y'all on the day of judgment. Stand before the Lord, some of you will go like this. Well, Pastor Harris didn't tell us that. I should be able to go to heaven. Send him to hell, but I ought to be able to go on in, because I'm going to blame it on him. You can blame it on me, but it ain't going to do you a bit of good. There will be a day you have to take responsibility for your life. You can't blame a government. You can't blame a political party. You can't blame anybody. And this is going to fry a lot of us, because we spent our whole life blaming our problem on somebody else.
Man,
I had a bad family. You know what my response is? Who didn't? You know why you had a bad family? Because sin kills. You know why you had a bad marriage? Because sin kills. You know why you woke up every morning and popped that cork? Because sin kills. You know why you woke up every morning and twisted off that top of the medical medication that the doctor had prescribed? The problem is he didn't say take 10 at a time. But we always justify it, don't we? You know, I've told you all that story. I used to pastor out in the country. Out in the country, you'd have these little old ladies, man. I mean, they would just be tore up. I mean, they'd go hillbilly revival crazy if they heard about somebody drinking a beer. Just, but they all took nerve pills. Down in the city, we call those nerve pills 500 milligram. What am I looking for? Slip the drugs. No, not Xanax. Well, this is old time. Valium. You got your granny hitting two hits of Valium walking around. But they're okay because they're called what? Nerve pills. Guess what? You're just as addicted to nerve pills as you are pot. But you can't see granny sitting around hitting one. You know what I mean? That was, Now, sin hides so it can kill. Call it what you want to. Try to rename it. It's still the same stuff. It's death. And God doesn't want you to die. So look what he says. Man, you used to be living in this death. Look, you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. I want to be clear here. Well, what does it mean to follow this ruler of the kingdom of the air? Who in the world is that? Who? Satan. Now, how many of y'all still think Satan looks like a cartoon character? The best description of Satan that I've ever seen is in the movie The Devil's Advocate. Al Pacino makes a great head devil. Anybody ever seen that movie? Yeah, you know, I mean, his hair's slicked back. He's got wealth. He's got women. He's got fame. He's got power. His fingernails are clean. He's got charisma. And he brings you in. You know why he can bring you in? You ready? This is not an official word in the Noah Webster Dictionary, but it will be. We're creating it here. Meism. 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 It is the foundational thought that what I think, what I feel, and what I will is why God put me on the face of this earth to exist. That, this concept alone is destroying the nation we live in. Watch this, I'll show you across the board. How many of y'all would agree with this? We're going to have to deal with our arrogance eventually. There's something that is common about Americans. We are all arrogant. Have y'all noticed that? We all are, because what do we say all the time? I deserve what?
The best.
Why?
Because it's mine.
Well, it's mine, exactly right. I mean, it's mine. And if I don't make a dime and I choose not to go to work and I lay around like a lazy bum, what do I think? I expect somebody else to pay for my existence. It don't get any more arrogant than that. It's an expectation. I remember one time I had a lady come into the church, and she goes, you need to give me some money. I got 5 children. I said, it ain't my fault. Why would she be demanding? It's arrogance. It's meism. And we're arrogant on both scales. We think we've achieved and we have the responsibility and judge ourselves. And we think if we do nothing, then ourselves should be indulged by others. It is this absolute obsessed way of the world that says, I am here to be blessed. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, everything 180s on that thought. The way of the world says it's all about me. And the way of Christ says it's all about Jesus. So I quit thinking about the here and now only and start looking at eternity. Now, let me show you something. The next thing you want to do is just, how many of y'all have ever wanted to just, you just want to just, whatever you crave, you ought to be able to do it. How many of y'all find this? There is sin that feels good that will kill you. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, here's the devil. He's got a bad plan. He will let you feel good as he kills you. Y'all ever had, anybody here ever had that kind of situation? Yeah. Well, let me show you. It's been around a long time, like forever. Started in Genesis 3. You're exactly right, Pastor Eric. Wednesday night when you were teaching, it started where? Genesis 3, Eve, that chick, what'd she want? She wanted to be God. That ain't changed. Watch this. All you ladies that want to lord over your house, you've fallen into the same temptation that Eve did. She lorded over her house and destroyed it. God has order, and when you break order, guess what? All sin is breaking God's order. But it leads to what? Y'all saying that? So come on, get some spiritual fortitude. It either kills you or it doesn't kill you. If you're going to live in sin, what's going to happen to you? For how long? Good. If you decide to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, be forgiven of that sin and receive the eternal life and the eternal gift of God, how long do you live?
Forever.
Do you die? No. Yeah, one time. On the cross. So that you might be resurrected to live in heaven. Isn't that cool? Look at here. Now it goes on. How many of y'all have ever desired something? Well, he said all of us lived among them at one time. We all come from this struggle. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. I know this just kills so many of you. I mean, Dr. Phil tells you that you're precious. Oprah tells you to release the light within you. On late night cable, they go, you can get white teeth in a new life. Because inside of you, you're inherently what? A blessing. And then we read the word of God and it said, by nature, you were objects of wrath. Why? What's in every one of us? Sin. 2 years old, we start lying. You parents, you moms, you ever taught your kids to lie? No, but they do it. See, it's what? Nature. And cravings and desires. How many of y'all have just ever had cravings and desires? Even things that are good will make you sick. How many of y'all found that if you overdo them? I like Oreos. Any of y'all here like Oreos? Fess up if you like Oreos. Now, what did the Oreo pushers do? What did the Oreo pushers do here? They did it in the last 6 months. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all remember, at least it used to be a little effort to get an Oreo out? You know, you had to undo the front end and you could only eat it by stacks. Y'all remember that? Old school Oreos. Now, for all Oreo addicts, what have they done now? Exactly right, tear open top. Well, that tear open top got me in trouble. I can watch a game and not keep up with Oreo consumption. Any of y'all have been watching TV and you've been eating something and then you look over, do you eat mine? Now, I hate to confess, this is going to be awful, but I'm going to tell you, it was just, our kids aren't at home anymore, so I couldn't blame it on them. Elizabeth doesn't eat Oreos. I mean, she'll look at them and they'll talk to her like, eat me. But Elizabeth has like discipline. She goes, no. When those Oreos look at me and go, eat me, I go, okay. Well, I was watching the ball game. Ball game got away from me. Ball game went in overtime. And I mean, I'm not conscious that I'm eating. Any of y'all ever been there? I mean, I'm so addicted to these Oreos, I'm high and don't even know what's happening. I'm into my 24th Oreo. You with me? Now, see, if some of y'all know what I'm talking about there, you need some other things you got to work on, all right? Watch this. Before I knew it, I kid you not, and occasionally I'll take a nap while I'm in my chair. And I took a nap and I woke up. Somebody ate all my Oreos. How do you remember this? And I called out Elizabeth. I said, Elizabeth, did you sneak in here and eat some of my Oreos? She said, no, honey, I don't know who ate it. So we went to bed. About 3 o'clock, by the way, don't ever eat a whole thing of Oreos. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, you will be taken to the island of Patmos, just like John was. And you will start experiencing the book of Revelation. I mean, I saw dragons and everything else. I am swirling off the top of my head. I looked at Elizabeth and I said, I think I'm real sick. And she goes, you ought to be. You ate a whole box of Oreos. This is just, hey, this is free today. Liquid ain't the only thing that'll make you bow up if you eat a whole case of it. Oreos will too. But what was that? I'm crazy. Why would I eat that many Oreos? They feel good. They're crunchy, they're chocolatey, and that double stuff, you can kind of swish that around. So I was what, KB? I was what? I was feeling good. Watch this. I was feeling so good, I made myself sick. Y'all ever been there? Now, we don't have to have, like, personal confession right now. But how many of y'all have all felt so good that you hit that moment, you went from feeling good to, oh, no. Because sin what? Sin. Now, here's what I want you to know, every time. Me-ism has got to be dealt with, church. If we're going to be the church that Jesus Christ has really called in the world to make a radical difference, we are radically going to have to deal with what? Sin. There's only one way to deal with it. I want to give you the best news I know. You ready? Best news I know out of Scripture. Greatest news I know. Even though we were objects of wrath, sinners, people who were dead, I want you to hear the great news. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, underline that, understand that, believe that, know that, rejoice in that. That's the message. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, pray, thank you, Lord. Now, those of you who are wondering, why is he going off about God being rich in mercy? I want to tell you why. Without God being rich in mercy, I don't have a prayer for heaven. And you'll never follow him till you get there. I mean, all I'm going to be able to do when I get to heaven is hug Jesus and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if Jesus goes, you want me to show you what you did in your life? I go, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I trust your mercy and your grace and your word to be enough. You go, Pastor Ayers, how? His mercy is what? Everlasting. His mercy leads you to the truth. His mercy keeps you from thinking death and brings you to what? Life. Where's that, church? Young people, I love this 11 o'clock service because you know what? Just by chance, y'all might be the church that needs to really be in the world becoming what God's really called it to become. Here's what I know. None of you were saved by accident. What do you think about that? No, you didn't walk up to some church, get your decision card, fill it out, and they go, well, good, now you're one of us. That's not the way it happened. God's mercy sought you out. God's grace had your name on it. And God drew you to the point to understand you don't have to die. You can live. You see, we've so cheapened it. We pass out grace like it's, one of these, what are the things we went to one time, Gatlinburg? Timeshares. We preach grace like it's a timeshare in heaven. No, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm a part of the wrath of God. And God has said, I love you. I know you. I forgive you. I believe in you. Receive my grace. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But God would love human beings that much. Guess what God could have done? Left us alone. How many of y'all want God to leave us alone? Well, Bill Maher, he believes that there isn't a God. That today I've spent this whole day talking to you about a mythological character. My question is, who would believe in Bill Maher? You ever looked at the dude? I don't understand why, but then I do, because guess what Bill Maher teaches? gratify yourself. Guess what Oprah teaches? Girl, it's all about you. And guess what you do?
That's right. It's all about me.
That fits, doesn't it? Dr. Phil tells you what you want to hear. Yeah. You go on these reality shows, what's everybody doing? They're getting what everybody else craves for. How many of y'all have ever heard somebody say this? Well, if I just won the lottery, everything would be all right. Well, just those of you that are broke right now, if you won the lottery, you'd be a broke a year from now. Because broke ain't got nothing to do with money. It's about mentality. It's about cravings. See, a foolish man like me would be broke if he ran the lottery because he'd buy an Oreo factory. So you got to get rid of your cravings. Does that make sense? Let's look. Let's finish it up. Let God have your life. Make sense? How many of y'all who've come to Christ, you know you're not what you used to be. I mean, you absolutely know it. Here's how you know when God's got a hold of you. How many of y'all have had this experience? You've gone back around what you used to be, and you actually tried to go back to it, and you tried to make it work again, and it didn't work. It's frustrating, isn't it? I had a friend of mine, he really came to know Jesus Christ in a big way. He came to my office about 3 weeks after his salvation. And he said, Pastor Steve, this is awful. I said, what's the matter? He said, man, I tried to smoke a joint the other day. It doesn't taste the same. It doesn't work the same. I couldn't get high. I said, cause I looked at him. Now, this is very Kentucky. This is office talk. I said, cause you ain't what you used to be. Life doesn't line up with death. Now, you can smoke it, but it won't work. Because you're not what? I mean, the marijuana hadn't changed. It's just what? Weed. But you have. The drink ain't changed, but what? You have. Watch this. Wives, your husband ain't changed. Come on, I'm getting them next. Just follow me, okay? Elizabeth, you ought to be leading. You ought to be standing up and leading. I have. Hold on. Husbands, your wife hadn't changed, but what? Because you let God deliver you out of me-ism. I want to challenge you this week. For just this week, how many of you all, most of your days about you? Can you young people help me with something? You beautiful young people. What's up with this? Help me, I'm not being critical. I'm old, okay? Ancient. Why do people tweet, I'm going to the grocery store? I don't care. I've seen a guy that I liked. Now, the only one I'm interested in tweeting that tweets that is my daughter. If I pick that up on a tweet, I won't know who it is. I don't get this. Do y'all really believe people care? I hate to disappoint you. They don't. They only care about what they're tweeting. Because guess what we've done? We're so into us, we can't even see anybody. And even those who pretend to be humble in this generation are so into showing the world that how humble they are, they become arrogant twits in their humility. You know why? What's this? I never tweet this. Going home to love my wife and my kids. If that isn't evident to you, then I'm not living it. Never said that. You can look at my kids and my wife and see if I love them or not. See, that's a lot harder. That takes grace. I never tweet, I want to be a family man. You can look at my wife and my kids and see if I'm a family man. See, now we're getting down to where it lives. Now we're getting down to the reality of grace, the power of salvation. You don't have to tell people. Let me tell you something. You don't have to tell people who you are if you're that. Now, I learned that through the Lord Jesus Christ, through a man called my father, who happened to be an attorney.
When I grew up and started running around the state of Kentucky, he knew a lot of people. In fact, he knew a lot more people than I thought he knew. He knew a lot of important people. I never knew he knew important people because I only knew him as my dad. I didn't know him as a lawyer. In fact, when I came home at 17 one day, I said, "Dad, somebody told me I got it made because you're a lawyer." He goes, "Oh, son, people just think crazy thoughts." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, why'd he say that?" He said, "Well, some people think lawyers make a lot of money." He said, "What do you think?" I said, "Man, I'm going to go work at FMC," because all my buddies that had dads that worked at FMC, they had like Corvettes in the garage and Harleys and stuff. My dad, 75, green Impala with an AM radio. I said, "I ain't going to be no lawyer. They broke. No, here's what I'm telling you. My dad never showed me what he did. He always showed me who he was. It's interesting. My dad never wore Christian lapel pins. He never made sure everybody knew that he went to church. He lives in such a way that everybody that I met, like these judges and stuff that he's before, they'd say, "Son, it's interesting to me that you're a preacher." You know, they're old judges now. "Son, it's interesting to me that you became a preacher. Your father always practiced his faith when he practiced his law." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep." He said, "You can see what a man believes by what a man's willing to do." Woman, too. You see, who we are is changed by the grace of God. And we are objects of wrath without grace. But in grace, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And man, we get to end at the most beautiful place of Scripture today. It is by, Trish, grace we have been saved. Let me just see how clear we are. Let's see if we've made progress. Can anybody here save yourself by doing good things? No. Give me a collective answer to that. Will you save yourself by your good works?
No.
Hey, that's pretty clear. Now, you'll have people that disagree every day. They'll say, "Well, you may think that, but I'm a good person, and God says good people go to heaven." What you need to do is go, "Show me." Because the Bible said we are dead in our sins and we need the hope and the mercy of Christ in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we got to have, and God's willing to give it. Anybody learn anything today? This is basic, man. You got to have Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. You got to get that to understand the rest of it. Make sense? God loves you. He wants to forgive you. It is real. How many of y'all know grace is real? Now, day by day, live it out. Watch this. Let's really talk about it for a minute. Sean, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't either. Mikey, what's going to happen tomorrow? Elizabeth, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Now, you've got every minute of the day scheduled out. But you ain't got a clue what's going to happen, do you? My wife's any of y'all married to a list maker? I guarantee you when I die, there'll be a list on the side of my coffin of what was supposed to be done during the procedure. Listen, I'm all into list makers. Y'all help things get done, but guess what? How many of y'all found your list gets changed every day? You know, Elizabeth's got arrival times and dates. I passed by one time on Scott's Road, and I looked, I said, "Look, like my wife's car." She's over there. She had a flat tire, which changed the list. Because you didn't have scheduled on your BlackBerry, iBerry. She has 5 NASA-type computers to run these lists. You didn't have scheduled on that flat tire at 8:30, did you? How many of y'all have scheduled the bumps in your life? How many of you even thought what was going to be blessings became bumps? Yep. How many of you have ever thought this? Now, this isn't a real old congregation in here. 8 o'clock gets this better than y'all do because they're a little more seasoned. Anybody here aware of this? Sometimes bumps become blessings. There's a real truth to that country song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." Because you know what I'm really saying by that song? God, thank you for not listening to me. Because most time when we pray, what do we want God to do?
Yeah, exactly right. We want God to do what we're asking. Right? I've never seen a girl or a young girl or a young guy pray that God break up their relationship if they really wanted it. Because here's the way they'll pray. Dear God, I know this is your will. Well, you better check it first. Now, Elizabeth knew that. But, you know, in other situations. God, is this your will? Because it's mine. But is it yours? See how that me-ism gets what? And I don't know about y'all, but I get ticked off when I don't get what I want. Any of y'all still a baby like that? How many of y'all pout when you don't get what you want? I do too. Well, I don't pout much. How many of y'all yell and scream when you don't get what you want? Well, what's this? How many of y'all have ever yelled and screamed and it made any difference at all? Come on, let's be honest. Poor Blake for a long time, my son back there, poor Blake, one time we were trying to start a power washer and he was just a little kid. It was a two-cycle power washer. I'm over there pulling in, and about the 100th pull, I come unglued. So I gracefully send the power washer up in the air. Hits the ground, I pulled it, and it started. Of course, he's 4 or 5, and he goes, I guess you just throw power washers up in the air when they don't start. I was like, Blake, that's not good to do that. Why was I mad, though? Wouldn't work. Now, here's the key today. Me-ism will kill you. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how little you have. I don't care about all this popularity stuff that we get into. Okay? Let me really tell you about the state of the church. I mean, I think this person, this is just personally Steve Ayers. This is not coming through the antles of the Holy Spirit. Celebrity pastors being treated like celebrities makes me just very nauseous. Because that's the way of the what? World. I mean, could you ever see the Apostle Paul on a slick brochure? Apostle Paul appearing tonight. Don't miss him. Get Paul's latest book, Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Don't die by yourself. He just didn't do it that way. And he lived in a celebrity-based culture called Rome. But he said, I'm going to do it God's way. Humbly, truthfully, accurately, effectively. Let's get into those things. Amen. Stand with me. We're not finished because God's calling some of you all to be forgiven. Out of life, into death. Did this make sense today? Y'all been fun to preach to today. Does it make sense? I mean, is it clear? Now, those of you that are saved, listen, it was a good review for us today. Amen? Because even the saved, we need to be reminded by the teachings of God. Because guess what we do? We get cocky. And after we know God saved us, we start to think we've saved ourselves. Because we act like that to other people. We go, well, I can't believe you did that. Oh, why can't you? You did. You used to. So let God have that. Amen. I want us to pray for those that are yet to know Jesus, that right now at this altar, they're going to receive Christ. Amen. If you know Jesus, now come on. How many of y'all got some sin you just need to confess and get out of your life? Now watch. He'll view it's real clear, okay? I want all of us to get better. And so here, this is a tough church. I just don't think lying and conning to each other gets us better. You know, I could preach a happy gospel to you and I can smile and I can con. I have those sinful abilities. But the truth is we're sinners in the need of Jesus. So I would rather for you to be made alive than just feel good. That's pretty cheap. In fact, you can feel good with a half a stack of Oreos. So if all you wanted to do to come to church today and feel good for a half a stack of Oreos, you could have gotten the same experience. But if you want a new life, you want your sins to be forgiven, you want your motion heavenward instead of downward, you want to live a full and abundant life, these words change you forever. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Guess what Jesus will do? He will forgive you. You say, well, Pastor Steve, how do you know it works? Because you can't say that prayer unless he brings it to you. You go, well, how will I feel? Wrong question. How will you live? Right question. I will now live connected to heaven. I will now live forgiven by God. Will I make mistakes? Absolutely. But man, the Holy Spirit will correct where I err so that we might head heavenward until we take our last breath, which will be our first breath in heaven. This is a wonderful way to live. I will tell you this, God won't let go. Amen. Will I struggle if I receive Jesus Christ in my life? Yes. Will all my problems go away? No. Will I be able to pay for my rent if you get a job? Jesus is not magic. But Mark, if you follow Jesus and do what he asks you to do, you might end up in places in your life you never imagined. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, you haven't brought people here today just for them to come to a service. You've brought them to come to life. So Jesus, I just ask right now that those who need to realize they can be forgiven, that you would just draw them to that understanding right now. God, let your mercy reign. Hey, listen, if you know God's pulling at your heart right now, just listen to him. He loves you. I want you to hear. He loves you. He loves you. He loves all of us. He loves all of us in this place. Ask him, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave. Ask him. Ask him. That message changes everything. That message changes everything. So invite him in. If you have not been baptized, we want to invite you to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus asked you to do that. That's why. So right now, you know what? In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. If you need to confess your sins, you don't have to come confess those to a pastor. I mean, Sean, if they confess you your sins, what are you going to say? Well, I'm sorry. That's about as far as it gets with Beth Ann. I'm sorry, but that doesn't change it, does it? Jeff, I'm sorry. I messed up. And you'll probably say, I know. But guess what Jesus will say? I want to show you how to be restored. I want you to own your forgiveness. So, man, if you, come on. Whatever your need is, God's in this place right now. We got plenty of time. Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. You know what would make it greater? Is if you don't know Jesus, you would come to know him. It's that real. You say, well, is it intellectual to follow Jesus? I don't know. It sure is faithful. It sure is life-giving. I just think it's smarter to be alive. So, yes, that would be intellectual. Is it physical? Yeah, it brings you to life. Come on, let God have his way in your life. In the name of Jesus, come on, come on.